Well, you know, I should have known. When I said, when I agreed to preach this morning like a month ago, and I knew it was going to be on joy, I should have known that the preparation for this would be, you know, when you say, Lord, help me have more patience, you know it's going to be lots of opportunity for patience. And That's kind of how this message has been. So I'm excited for this morning because God is good and He is faithful, and His word gives us what we need. And sometimes it's a little bit harder to find, you know, specific things when we're like, okay, well, what does the word say about this? Sometimes we have to dig a little bit, but the word is always relevant and always full of life, right? Amen. All right, so a few things that you may not know about me. I do not like pasta. I know some of you are like, what? Yeah, I don't like pasta. I'm good if I never go to an Italian restaurant. You probably will never find me there. If I do go, I'm just going to eat the salad and the breadsticks, probably, except for now I'm gluten-free, so bread is a thing of the past. When I was a kid, you would have found me in the swamp with the boys finding frogs, not playing dress up with the girls. I like to garden, but my joy really leaks when I have to pull weeds. I love to craft, and that's really good self-care for me, but spreadsheets give me hives. I really hate spreadsheets. And that's my husband's love language, and he's always got a spreadsheet for something, and I'm like, okay. That's not my language at all. It looks like hieroglyphics to me. I can't interpret those things. So, we were foster parents. Many of you guys do know that. Over the course of being foster parents, we had quite a few kids, which also meant that over the course of our marriage, I have been the mom to 9 newborns. Which is a lot of babies, and a lot of years of diapers, and spit up, and cycling through newborn clothes, and it's a lot of babies, right? A lot of sleepless nights, but it's also a lot of giggles. It's a lot of baby snuggles, that newborn smell. I was never seeking out the new moms to go and hold their baby, because I always had one attached to me. For 6 straight years, I had a baby, a newborn. And it was like 8 months I would have one, and then it would be, you know, it's the time for that child to either return home or go to a relative. And so like every 8 months we were having a new newborn. Right about the time a child was ready to crawl, we were going to the hospital and bringing home a new baby. And so for 8 months they were attached, and then it was for 6 years. So that's an interesting way to live for a while. But I really like a clean house, and I have a lot of kids, and that's a recipe for disaster. So I am trying to learn, and this is a daily thing for me, trying to let go a little bit, because a perfect world for me is everything has its place, and everything is organized, and the toy room looks like it should, right? Everything is organized and has a bin, and the bookshelf is organized, and you know, I'm not even talking about vacuum lines, which would be amazing, but no, I'm just talking about not having clutter everywhere and dishes everywhere. I just want a nice and tidy house. That's my perfect place. But I have 5 children. Someday they're all going to move out, right? I hope. Maybe. There's hope, right? Is there hope? Somebody please give me a... Yes, okay. Okay, maybe there's hope someday. So that's something that God is working in me. Every day I'm learning to still kind of let go of that and learning to just be present, because if I'm just constantly worrying about the mess, I'm missing those moments, right? So I'm still a work in progress. I would really like a clean and tidy, organized place, but I also know that I have a lot of people in my house, and sometimes it's necessary to leave the dishes and go for a walk. right? And that's what God wants right now in this season of my life, and I have to not only be okay with that, but enjoy that, right? So, you know, with the amount of people we have in our house, a trip to the zoo, let's just say we bring the zoo to the zoo. We're just going to embrace it. We are a wild bunch, and it's just easier to stay home a lot of times. We'll just stay home, and we'll just be homebodies, because a trip to the zoo, we just bring the monkeys to the zoo. Right? It just is what it is. But I like to plan. You know, we go on vacation, and for those of you that like to go and just see how it goes, you stress me out, because that's not vacation. I'm all for going and just kind of having an adventure, but I'd like to kind of have an idea of what we're going to do. We went on vacation once with family, and we spent an hour at the, it was going to Disney World, we spent an hour at the entrance of the park just trying to decide which direction to go. That was so stressful. I was like, I got to keep my mouth closed, because I know if I say anything, it's not going to be kindness. And it was like, okay, Lord, just continue to work in me, just because I'm pacing back and forth. Can we just make a decision? Can we please just make a decision? I don't even care who makes a decision. Can somebody just please make a decision? And that part of my personality was really just roaring, like, okay, can somebody just take control? Because I know if I take control, everybody's going to be mad because I'm trying to take control. I just want somebody to make a decision. Right? Okay. Is there anybody that identifies with that? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I love all you people. Thank you. There should be some order in life, right? We can't all just fly by the seat of our pants. There is order in this world. Come on, people. There is order in this world. Yes, and the people that have order in this world help everything else function better for all of you people. When you go to the grocery store, things are ordered on the shelf by people like me that know how to order things on the shelf. You're welcome. Come on. So maybe you guys don't have kids at home that just mess up your plans and your home, but maybe work is complicated. Maybe when you go to work, your coworkers are just draining your joy. Maybe you just feel like you're really grumpy when you go to work and you spend time with them, and you feel yourself just really snappy with them. Maybe you feel like you just don't want to be there anymore because you just don't like who you are at work. And once upon a time, maybe you liked your job, and now you're like, I just don't like who I am around these people anymore, and I just don't know how this happened. Maybe you're past that season of life where you're not working, but maybe you're trying to figure out who you are. And maybe that uncertainty of just not, maybe your identity either was in your kids or maybe was in your job, and now you're trying to figure out, well, who am I? And maybe if I'm not doing a job or I'm not raising kids and I'm not doing something, then I'm not important. And that uncertainty is just kind of just turning inside of you, and it's just kind of creating that anger. And maybe you're kind of becoming that grumpy neighbor you never wanted to be. And you're leaking out some things and some emotions that you're not intending to do, but that's what's coming out, right? Maybe you don't feel well, and I can identify with that. Maybe your physical body is just not what it should be, and it's really hard to be nice to people when you don't feel good. Like, even if you have a cold and you just don't feel good and your kids come talk to you, it's really hard to be kind when they're bothering you and you're like, my head is pounding and just please leave me alone, right? So if your body is just physically not well, and some of us deal with chronic pain and chronic physical issues, it is really hard to be kind to people, and it is really hard to hold on to that joy. Maybe things just aren't going as planned. Let me rephrase that. It's not when things aren't going to go as planned. It's not if things don't go as planned. It's when things are not going to go as planned. Because no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you put your ducks in a row, your ducks are going to get knocked over, and it's all going to be a mess. So as much as we want to plan, and as much as, you know, some of you guys are good with just flying by the seat of your pants, apparently, The rest of us that would like to have things a little bit more orderly need to be more like you, right? And some of you that are maybe a little bit more loosey-goosey, like we all need to learn from each other, right? Right? Amen. Yes. The answer is yes, we do. We all need to grow, okay? We all need to continue to move forward, all right? But when things do not go as planned, what happens to you? I want you to think for a minute. What happens to me when things do not go as planned? Either you're just going to kind of go with the flow and somebody comes in and takes control and that really stresses you out, or you have a plan and it just is all chaos. What happens to your emotions? What happens to you? Because I'm guessing right now you're thinking, oh, I know what I'm thinking right now. I know you can think of a specific thing, right? Okay. That's what we're going to address today. Because in those moments, especially as moms, our little people, they know how to pull those emotions out of us. They know how to drain all the life and all the joy out of us, it feels like sometimes, right? Sometimes we miss the opportunity. So we want to have this joy and we spill, you know, we spill things out on people, right? We spill those emotions out on people. Things don't go well and we just, right? And a lot of times those things that we spill out on people are not necessarily the things that we want to be spilling out on people. Usually it's anger and frustration and, get out of my way. It's those things that just kind of come out of nowhere and you're like, where did that come from? I didn't mean that. It's those things that make us have to go back and say we're sorry later, right? Sometimes we even miss an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with somebody because of those things that come up out of us in those moments. We miss the opportunity because those things come up out of us and spill out. And we see somebody maybe that's homeless, or maybe we see somebody that is not in an ideal situation, or maybe they're spilling out hatred. Maybe they're spilling out all of these things, and all we can see is that hatred. All we can see is that gunk and that mess and all of those things. And we totally miss them as a human being, and we miss them as a child of God. Maybe they're not in right relationship with God, but God created them, and God has a plan for them. Right? And so we miss that opportunity because all we see is things not going well for us and me and that selfishness that comes up and wells up inside of us, and then all of a sudden it becomes just about me. And then my things start coming out and spilling out. But it was never meant to be about us in those moments. But if we don't prepare for those moments, that's exactly what is going to happen. If we're not intentional in preparing for those moments, it's always going to be that flesh that comes out. It's always going to be the fallback, right? That sinful nature, that flesh that comes out when we don't want it to. An athlete, when a professional athlete, they don't wait to practice for the first time until they get out for a football game. When they're hired by a football team, they don't wait to like, I'm gonna be a professional athlete. I'm gonna be a professional football player, but I'm not gonna actually practice football like ever until I'm actually like hired to the team. That it doesn't work like that, does it? Please, if there is a time that you know all of a sudden like it doesn't work like that. It takes days. It takes months. It takes years and years of practicing to be intentional so that what happens, it becomes the natural for that person. It becomes their automatic, right? So much so that if you have somebody that plays football, you throw something at them, their instincts are going to kick in. They're going to throw their hands out. They're going to catch something, right? You throw a ball at somebody, even if they're not on a football field, what are they going to do? They're going to reach their hands out. They're going to catch something. Their instincts kick in because they prepared for it. Right? So if we prepare for those moments, then when those moments come that are unexpected, we're not going to be spilling out those things that are causing harm, those flesh, those moments that we don't want to be. Instead, we're going to be able to spill out that joy. We're going to be able to spill out that love on people. Luke 6:45 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So when we are bumped into, we're going to spill something out. What is in your heart? That's what we need to ask this morning. So we've been talking about joy. But where do we find joy? So we find it in the Word of God. But when you look up joy in the Word, it's in there a whole bunch. And it's not as easy as, okay, how do I get joy? Do I just, okay, I'm going to read a scripture. Okay, now I'm full of joy. It's a little bit more complicated than that. When we're feeling overwhelmed by the cares of this world and we're searching for joy, I imagine that it feels like this. Could you put the slide up for me? Where is joy in here? I think that it's kind of like looking for Waldo. There's a whole lot of Waldos in here that are not the real Waldos, right? So we're looking around everywhere and we're like, well, maybe he's here, maybe he's here, maybe he's here. And we end up finding a counterfeit. And what is that called? That's called happiness. You can go ahead and put that off now. We search everywhere for joy. We fill up with counterfeit joy. So maybe that is things that we buy. Maybe that is, maybe it's even food. You know, sometimes a good meal makes us happy. Maybe it's people that we hang out with. There's all kinds of things that we can do that is counterfeit joy. So first we have to realize that happiness, being happy, and true joy are not the same thing, okay? So being happy is an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. Okay, do we understand that? So joy and happiness are not the same thing. So happiness is based on circumstances. It's based on what is happening to you. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Let me say that one more time. Happiness is based on circumstances, and joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I want to read this definition for you of happiness. This is one definition that I found. Happiness is temporary. It is based on the happenings of life. It mostly is just passing through. When happiness is present, it's larger than life. It feels good, and nothing feels better or seems worthy of attention. It can be present for weeks on end and gone in an instant. True joy is constant and can also exist with other emotions like sadness. So happiness is like the focus. It's you're happy. You know, we have all this. We're over the moon. We're so happy. But then true joy, you can actually be sad and have joy at the same time. But happiness and sadness, that's contradicting, right? So even when we're going through really hard things, we can still have that joy that God gives us. Even when we're facing things that are unimaginable, we can still have the joy that God gives us. There's so many counterfeits, though. So let's go ahead and put that next slide up. If we look back at Where's Waldo, I'm going to give you the answer. So all of you that have ADHD that are still thinking about where actually Waldo is, you can move on. So he's right there. So you're welcome. I know there's a few of you in here that were thinking about that still. So he's right there. So there is true joy to be found. There really was a real Waldo in this image. So how do we find it then? Number one, we draw closer to God. We spend time with God, okay? We do that in a few different ways, through worship and prayer, spending time with him. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We choose to worship him. We get to worship him. He is worthy of our praise. The closer we get to him, the harder it is not to worship him. We start saying thank you for what he's done in our life. Our perspective changes. Something in us changes when we choose to change our perspective. When we thank him for what he's done and we rejoice. We're going to turn to Philippians 4. We're going to start in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The closer that we get to Him, the more we look like Him. The more natural that joy is just going to flow out of us. It's contagious, and there's no helping it. The closer that we get to Him, His joy spills on us. And just like a sponge, we soak it up. The second thing we do, we have to renew our mind. And how do we do that? The Word of God. We memorize the Word. We take captive those thoughts. Why don't you go ahead and start turning in your Word to Ephesians 6. That's where we're going to head next. We have to change the way that we think. Just like I am working on changing the way that I think and in the way that I would like everything to be clean and tidy and orderly, and I'm learning to let go and realize that although that is important, that is not the most important. We have to change the way that we think, that we're not thinking the way the world thinks. Because that's the way we're born, guys. We're born into this world. That's what we consume. We turn on the TV and it's the way the world thinks. That's what we take in. So we have to be intentional about taking in more of the Word of God, right? So keep flipping over to Ephesians 6. I'm going to read another scripture here, though. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Our sinful nature, it's what comes natural to us, what we're born into, what our fallback is opposite of where God is. It's not natural to be forgiving. It's not natural to be loving to those that don't deserve it. It's not natural to be joyful when things are falling apart. Yet those are the things that God has asked us to do. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the things that God wants us to be more like. Those are the things that He's asking of us. Those are the things that He gives us and He wants to have reproduced in our life. For sin separates us from God. So we want to move as far away from that as possible. But we have to be intentional about that. So if we stay where we are we moving closer to God or are we moving further away from God? Just staying where we are. We're not moving. We're not moving closer to God. We are moving further away from Him. Staying still is not an option. Staying still is still moving further away from God. You need to hear that this morning. If you are not growing in your faith, you are walking further away from Him. Some of us need a wake-up call. Just coming and doing the motions and coming to church. That's not what God is asking of us. He sacrificed it all. He has so much more for you. It's not about doing the bare minimum. We have to be intentional about walking towards Him, about growing, about getting in the Word. We have to be thinking more like Jesus. Part of my healing from depression and mental health issues was having to be very intentional about the renewing of my mind the thoughts, you know, that inner voice that comes, all of those, you're not good enough, you're not, fill in the blank, all of you could just had something come to your head right then. Every single one of us have had something. You've had somebody in your life, some story, something. The enemy has gotten to you in some way. That inner voice that is critical. Those thoughts need to be taken captive because that is not the word of God. And that is not what God speaks over you. And those things in my life had become so consuming that I decided I was not going to live anymore. And so suicide was part of my story. And as part of the healing journey coming out of that, I had to let God change my mind, change my heart, and heal so much, but change my mind. Because the enemy had gotten in and distorted my mind so much that I could not see who I was in Christ. I could not see who God thought I was or who he said I was, because the enemy just had spent so long just throwing lies at me, and I believed them because other people were saying them too. Did it mean they were true? No, because the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God says I'm called. It says he loves me. It says I'm a child of God. It said he had a plan. And every time, and it took a while, every time, and I will be the first to tell you, there are still times where I have to take those thoughts captive and say, no, I'm a child of God. God has a plan. He has called me. And I've been walking with him a long time, and I've been free from those things a long time, but that is still something. To this day, I still have to know. I am called. No, God says this. So when those lies come, when those things come, we have to be prepared to fight the enemy. Because if you don't know your word, how are you going to fight that? So when those lies would come, I memorized some scriptures. I actually had like a bookmark. And any time those thoughts would come, I'd say, no, the word says this. No, the word says this. And I fought those thoughts for several years until they came less and less and less. And I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Because the word of God is powerful. It was not me. It is not me. It is the word of God and the power in the word of God. Amen. And how he overcame. Right? And he gave me the strength to memorize the word and to overcome because he's already beat the enemy. And the enemy doesn't need to keep beating us up. Amen. He's already defeated. So why are we letting him continue to do that? Easier said than done, right? Because if we're not practicing, if we're not intentional before the battle comes, when the battle comes, what do? We fall back to the flesh. We fall back to our go-to. So if we're not intentional when we're not in battle, when we're not in the game, and getting in the Word and reading our Word. This isn't in my notes, and I wasn't going to share this, but there are some statistics that are really alarming. Just nationwide, the average Christian only comes to church like 1.2 times a month, right? No, I'm right there with you. How do we expect to grow? If that is how much, I'm not saying that we have to just come to the church building to grow in our faith. I'm not saying that. Because the Word of God is active and alive. and we can grow. And if you're only relying on coming in this building to grow in your faith, there's some problems there. Because that's like eating a meal once a week, and you're starving the rest of the week, okay? So if that's how things are going for you, please come and talk to me, because I want to give you some tools to help you get some nutrition through the week. Okay, you cannot just rely on us to feed you, to spoon feed you once a week. If that's where you are in your walk right now, that's not healthy. Okay? Let us help you learn how to read the word. We have some great resources and we can help you with that. But there is something about being with other believers and about being in the church, okay? The Bible speaks to that. But if we only come 1.2 times a month to church, we're kind of sprinkling ourselves, oh, well, let's just come get some seasoning. And then we wonder why, when we're not in church, oh, woe to me, things are just... I'm trying to be real. We have to be in the Word, you guys. We have to be preparing for a battle. We have to be thinking of life as a battle. And the Bible talks about that. We are facing a spiritual battle, right? It does not take very long to turn on the news and be like, yep, we're facing a spiritual battle. Does not take long. Pick up the phone and talk to any of your relatives and bring up one word, politics. Yes, we're facing a spiritual battle. We are. We are. But what's awesome is that God's presence is so sweet, and He provides us what we need, and His word is active. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's a hard scripture verse, but I want that. I want the word to judge my thoughts and my attitudes, because one day I'm going to be held accountable. All of us will be. But I don't want to just be stale and stay where I am. I want to be closer to God. I want God to be renewing my mind so that I can be more like Him, so that the thoughts and the things of the enemy that would come in and just attack, I can just be casting them aside and say, no, the Word of God says something different. For every lie that had consumed my mind and twisted my thoughts, I just would memorize the Word, and I would challenge you. If there's something that is consistently coming up in your life, come and talk to us, because maybe there's some scripture that you need to be memorizing. Maybe even putting some sticky notes with some scripture on your mirror in the bathroom. When every morning when you're brushing your teeth, you're like, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Maybe that's the reminder that you need before you go to work. And then when you're at work, you're like, okay, the joy. I can feel the joy because God has done something in me. And maybe then that can start spilling out. All right, you in Ephesians? Ephesians 6, starting at 11. So we need to be putting the armor of God on. This is the word of God. This is renewing our mind. This is being prepared, for being prepared with the word. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It said all, you guys, all of them. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There's power in that. Spending time in the Word is critical. It's not optional. If reading your Bible is optional, I would challenge you today to search your heart on that, because this is how we get to know God. This is how we grow. This is how we become more like Him. We spend time with Him, we get close to Him, and we learn who He is through His Word. This is what searches our heart. This is how He corrects us. This is how He challenges us. This is essential. This is not optional. Number three, it's time for a heart check. We go to Luke 6. I'm going to read in 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from berries. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What we sow, we will reap. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Because I promise you, those things are going to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. My kids hate it when I say that, but I will keep saying it. Because if you have garbage coming in, garbage is going to come out. Same goes for food. If you eat junk food all the time, your body is going to fail you. Garbage in, garbage out. Who were you hanging out with? That's going to become who you be. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Another line that my kids hate. You're welcome, kids. Just for you. But what are you watching? If we're allowing music, TV, entertainment, friends, world influences to shape, to speak into us, we shouldn't be surprised when those things spill out. Right? You watch a movie and it's got, or maybe a TV show and it's got all kinds of swear words, and maybe you don't do that, but then all of a sudden one slips out and you're like, ooh, where'd that come from? You're watching that, and you may not be intentionally putting that in, but you are putting that in by just watching it. Even if you're not really paying attention, you're putting that in. You hang around with people like that, you're gonna start doing that. And every parent in here has seen that happen in a teenager, right? Yes, we see that from afar. But we do the same things when it comes to what are we watching? What influences are we allowing to speak into our lives? And how often, this is a question that we shouldn't respond to, so just think about it, because this is going to be a little convicting. But how often do we say things like, well, I'm just listening to this to see what they say, but I'm not really going to let this affect me? You listen to that enough and that becomes your opinion. Okay? That was a freebie. That wasn't in my notes either. We have to be intentional about what we're putting in. Just like with diet, you have to be intentional about what you're eating. Fruits and vegetables are important. You have to be intentional about that, right? We have to be intentional about what we're doing spiritually. We have to be intentional about what we're putting in. We have to be important. We have to be paying attention to what we're listening to. Some of us have been really good about setting up boundaries with entertainment. You're like, well, I don't listen to any of those. I don't watch any of those shows. I only watch TBN, or I only do, you know, I only watch old westerns or... And I applaud you for setting up those boundaries. But I would also challenge you, who are you hanging out with? Because sometimes, maybe we have those boundaries are easy for us to set up with when it comes to entertainment. So maybe that's not a stumbling block. But maybe you're entertaining some prayer requests that are just really harmful. They're not really prayer requests. Maybe it's just gossiping about people and really harmful. I know that cuts a little deep. May I be a little bold and say that I would say that probably most of us are guilty of that at one point. That's not okay, though. We shouldn't talk poorly about other people, right? The Word of God is very clear about that. We should not be talking about people like that. If that was confusing, the Word of God says that. That is also a boundary that we should be setting up. We should be overflowing with kindness, and that's not very kind. Gossip, bitterness, unforgiveness towards others creeps in. It takes over the seeds that God has planted, and it takes over without us intentionally letting it take over. I don't think anybody that is grumpy and aggressive intended to be that way. I don't think so. I think that people have a story. I think that if you were to really get to the bottom of some of those people, something happened. There was hurt that didn't get healed. There was a wound that festered. I don't think when you talk to a child that any child is going to say, I just want to be a grumpy old person when I get old. I don't think so. Just like they're not going to say, I want to be a homeless drug addict. They're not going to say that. But choices lead to decisions that lead to lifestyles that lead to those kind of decisions, right? But if we don't get these heart things in check, they lead to those attitudes of the heart that prevent us from spilling out this joy. And it takes over the spot in our heart that joy is supposed to be in. Do you see where I'm going there? So the closer we get to God, He fills us up with joy. But if there are other things like bitterness or worries even, what about worry? Worries of the world. This world, oh my word, you turn on the news. Just don't turn the news on. Just pray. Just spend that time praying. It would be so easy just to be worried. And I'm so thankful that God knew it was going to be a good idea to give us revelation, to give us an idea that He's already figured it out. Right? So we can just trust in Him and we can have that peace. He's already figured it out. And we can just rest in His presence. Because worrying is not going to fix it. But if we get so consumed with that worry, we're not letting God fill that place where that joy should be. You see what I'm saying there? So we're always being filled with something. But what are we wanting to be filled with? We have to be intentional. And if we're not being intentional with drawing near to God and spending time in His Word and letting His presence fill us up, then other things will fill. And those counterfeits will fill. And they're going to be lacking. They're not going to fill and overflow with that joy. And it's going to be, there's going to be so many holes, and it's not going to fill. We're always going to be searching because we were meant to be full and overflowing with joy. That's what we were meant to be. We were vessels that were made to be full and overflowing with joy. We were meant to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We were not meant to be angry human beings hurting other people. But this world is lost and broken. But somehow God wants to use us to reach those lost and broken. So we have to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Right? So we get to draw near to him and spend time in his word and let him search our heart so that we can be his hands and feet. But it takes us being willing to draw near to him, to let him renew our mind, to memorize the word, and let him examine our heart so that we can be used by him. So that when things do not go well, when people bump into us, what we spill out is joy. What we spill out is love. What we spill out is compassion. What we spill out is forgiveness. We don't spill out that anger and that passion and that spitefulness. We have that grace. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did it in my life. He can do it in yours. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. God did a deep work in my heart. He's still working. I'm a work in progress, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he didn't just, you know, one day, okay, I'm gonna interrupt your life and I'm gonna save you. Okay, now you're on your own. I wouldn't have made it. But I'm a work in progress, and I'm thankful that God loves me enough to let me come into his presence. That he loves me enough that he gave me his word, that I could go and let his word change my mind, change my thinking. When I was 13, I made that choice to end my life. Thankfully, God had other plans. He interrupted me. I was without joy. I was without hope. I was without love. And that day was the first day I think I ever remember feeling love. I knew that God loved me, and I knew that I had a reason now to push forward. I knew that I had a reason to live, and I knew that God had a plan. Has it been easy? No. Do I feel like I've arrived? No way. But something that day changed. I began to apply these things in my life, and sorry, just touched it. There are times when I feel like my joy has leaked, like this week, I tell you what. There have been moments that I feel like, I'm like, Lord, I really feel unqualified to preach this message this week because, I have 2 6-year-olds that have popped every hole in my bucket, and my joy has flowed out, but not necessarily leaked out in the right ways. It's been a little stressful. But by the grace of God, one day at a time. And in those moments, I have to remember the Holy Spirit is there. I can't worry about tomorrow, and I can't worry about the mess. I just have to just be present and be calm and let that peace that comes with the joy, and even if that joy doesn't come out as happiness, it can come out with that peace and that calm. When I don't feel that joy, feel dry. And I know that's kind of a check engine light moment for me, and I feel like, uh-oh, I think that I probably need to be spending a little bit more time with God this week. Not that I haven't been, but maybe my joy is being bumped into and spilled out a little bit more, and maybe it's just a little less joy in there, so I need to be spending a little bit more time. And when we're feeling those moments and we have those moments where, oh, I just kind of spilled some not joy on somebody, that's a check engine light and an indication that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, hey, pay attention, pay attention. Something's not right. Something's not right. And the Holy Spirit does that as a gift to us. And then it's our responsibility to say, okay, God, I'm going to come into your presence. And that doesn't mean that we come into his presence and we just spend the whole time complaining or okay, God, just show me everything. Sometimes it's just, God, I'm just here. I just want to worship you. Because he's worthy. It's not all about our list. It's not all about, okay, I'm going to pray for it. This and this and this and then this. We're all guilty of that. Sometimes it's, God, I just want to be in your presence. Life just makes you worn out sometimes, especially if you're a mom. I'm gonna read you an illustration, and if you're easily distracted, maybe just close your eyes and just think about this, because I think this is a great way to kind of self-examine. You're holding a cup of coffee, and somebody comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill your coffee? Because someone bumped into me? Wrong answer. You spilled your coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been water in your cup, you would have spilled water. Whatever is inside your cup is what is going to spill out. If you're not intentional with what you're putting in that cup, I'm guessing you're not going to be excited about what's going to come out when somebody bumps into it in a moment of passion. What's in your cup? When somebody bumps into you, maybe physically, maybe somebody bumps into your plans, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your work, maybe it's life. Somebody bumps into you, what is spilling out? Is it anger? Is it disgust? Is it bitterness? Sarcasm? Is it joy? Only you know, but I think those that spend a lot of time with you also probably have a good idea of some of that too. So I'm going to ask you to examine two things. Is there somebody that you need to go and talk to? Is there somebody that you have been spilling out something on? I mean, those that are close to us, that live in the same house as us, often get spilled out because they're safe, right? There are safe people, and those people see the worst and the best of us. So when we get just overwhelmed and we snap and we yell, those are the people that are going to see that in us because they're safe. But is there somebody that you need to go and talk to and apologize to? Is there somebody that's been seeing a little bit too much of an emotion that's not healthy? Maybe they're seeing a little too much anger, a little too snappy. I put sarcasm on there because I think that's really something that we need to evaluate. I think that sometimes we are sarcastic, and that is, you know, sometimes it's funny, but there are sometimes where sarcasm goes too far, because it's covering up something else. So I felt prompted to add that this morning. So maybe that's you. Maybe you watching online later. I don't know if that's you, but maybe you need to be talking to somebody this morning. And then the next thing that I want to ask you is, what do you need to do moving forward? Is there different habits that you need to be evaluating? Is there boundaries that you need to be putting in place? Do you need to be asking God, search my heart, Lord, is there something I need to be cutting out? Is there different things that I need to be changing in my life? Lord, we just ask right now that you would search our heart. Lord, if there is anybody that we need to go and talk to, if there is anybody that we have poured out or spilled out anything but joy on, and we need to go and talk to them, Lord, I pray that you would convict us right now. Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to us. Lord, that we would be quick to go and talk to them, Lord, and ask their forgiveness, Lord, and make that relationship right. Lord, if there is things in our life that is preventing that joy, whether it's making reading your word a priority or renewing our minds a priority, Lord, if there is sin in our heart, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would just reveal to us what we need to do. Lord, we know, God, that you don't want us just to be the same, to just spill out that frustration, that anger, the sinful things out on people, Lord, but you want us to reflect you. You want us to reflect your goodness, your joy, your peace. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us what we need to do. Lord, we just need you. We need your presence. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, this week as we go, I pray that you would help us to identify when that check engine light comes on and we spill something that's not joy on others, Lord, and the things that we try to find that counterfeit joy in, I pray that you would just put that engine, that check engine light on, that we would identify immediately, oh, we're trying to fill something in this place. We are trying to put something worldly in this place where, God, you are meant to be. Lord, we just love you. In your name we pray.